My title today is We Have Escaped. It's from a great psalm in the Bible, Psalm 124. Let's read it together. David said this, if it had not been the Lord who is on our side, let Israel say, let all of God's people say, if it hadn't been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us alive. In their wrath, they would have kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The streams would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. But blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Now he gets down to the meat of the dynamic of what happens when God helps us through trials and tribulations and traumas. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare, the trap of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Father God, anoint your servant, anoint your word, and anoint your people. I pray that you would minister so powerfully to each person that you know so perfectly well. Let grace flood into their world. Let healing and life, encouragement and strength pour into their souls today. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. This psalm begins by a refrain that was to be repeated publicly. And it was this, the Lord is on our side. And the evidence is, if he wasn't on our side, we wouldn't have made it through this season. And I have a word for you, my dear friend. The Lord is on your side. That's a refrain often used by David in the book of Psalms. Psalm 118 says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will see my desire upon those that hate me. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in kings. Psalm 27 says it like this, the Lord our God, one of the most beautiful passages of scripture in all of human history. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies, my foes, they stumble and they fall. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though they may rise up against me, in this thing I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he will hide me, and he will set me upon the rock. Your God is with you. He is on your side. And the evidence that God is on your side is apparent. I want you to evaluate and think about these things. The proof that God is on your side is that you're still alive. The enemy has done everything to try to wipe you out, kill you, destroy you. But the proof that God is on your side is that you're still alive. The proof that God is on your side is that you've been through hell, but you still survived. No matter what this season throws at you, you're going to make it through it because God already called you, ordained you, equipped you, and enabled you to be more than a conqueror. The Bible calls us overcomers. That's who we are in Christ. We have the DNA of Christ, the overcoming one. And you're going to overcome. It is in your kingdom identity, in your new nature in Christ to overcome. You're going to. So whatever's happening in your world, remind yourself today, Jesus is the proof that God is for me. Jesus is the proof that God loves me. When you're weighing the scales of the scales of good things and bad things, make sure you put Jesus into that scale. Because your worst day as a Christian is better than your best day as an unbeliever. God is for you. Jesus is the proof. And he's never going to abandon you, leave you. If it hadn't been for the Lord, someday we'll all be in heaven and we'll be able to see in a perfect way, all the times in our life when God prevented things from happening the enemy intended against us. And right now we don't have a full concept of that, but it's not just that the moments that you know of, the conscious moments where you saw the intervention of a loving God bring you through and bring you out of something, but there's so many things God stopped from even coming into your world. Yeah, if it hadn't been for the Lord who is on our side. David used the analogy of animals and storms and rivers. And he said, all these things had an intention to destroy me, but God was with me in the day of the storm, in the day of calamity, in the day of uncertainty, in the day of devastation. He prevented the enemy from having his way in my story. And like Paul said, yeah, he worked all things together for my good. That's going to be your story before it's all over. Overcome discouragement by reminding yourself of all the things God has already brought you through. Remind yourself, your testimony has power. And sometimes you got to preach to yourself, thank you, Lord, you brought me through that other thing. You're going to bring me through this thing. There's no distinction in God between big difficulties and small difficulties. To God, they're all small. And in your story, God is going to write a great testimony by his faithfulness in this season of your life. If it hadn't been for the Lord, yeah, the Lord is with us. My second point is this. God's not just with us in a passive way, in an indifferent way, or unengaged way. God is fighting for you. The Lord, your God, is fighting for you. One of my favorite passages, really chapters of scripture, is Romans 8. And Romans 8, verse 31 says this. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Wow. If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, God gave us Jesus. I say this kind of cute saying to my church. If God has given us the big enchilada, Jesus, he's not going to hold back on the chips and salsa, all the other things. He that did not, verse 32 says, he that did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. The Bible says this, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us in this same passage. And all of these things, we're more than conquerors. Why? He is with us and God is fighting for you. I just want to encourage you today, my friend. Your loving God is fighting for you. He is on your side. He is for you. He is with you. And he's going to show himself strong in this season. Psalm 56 says it like this. You number my wanderings. You know my story. My tears are in your bottle. You've captured the disappointing and sorrowful moments of my life. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Would you say that out loud wherever you're at? God is for me. God is for me. God is for me, not against me. He's not your enemy. He's your friend. He's not fighting against mankind. He's fighting for mankind. Jesus did not come to destroy this world. He came to save this world. Why would God destroy the people he sent his son to save? God loves you. And he's for you, and he's fighting for you, and he is on your side. Well, David got down to the crux of the matter when he said this in the same passage. And he said this, my soul, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. And here's the important point, because sometimes we get through things, and we make it through the storm, but the storm is still agitating and having consequence inside of us. God doesn't just take us out of storms. He takes storms out of us. He heals us. And David said, my soul got out of this. Not just my body, not just my business, not just my physical features and physical world. My soul, my mind, my will, my emotions. God helped me escape the enemy's plot. See, in this season, there's a pandemic that's never happened, a new kind of virus. And it's covering the whole world. In the whole world, there's not one place that's not experiencing this. It's covering the whole world now. And that's a physical disease that is contagious. But even more contagious then this very deadly disease is fear. And God would have our hearts be healed from the impulse, from the prison, from the oppression of anxiety and fear. And God says, I'm going to break that snare that's trying to hold you down and make you fearful, make you wake up at night, unable to sleep, worried about what's going to happen. God's breaking the grip of whatever is trying to hold you and imprison you. God's going to let your soul escape. David said this in Psalm 23, the beautiful, the Lord is my shepherd psalm. He said this in verse 3. The Lord restores my soul. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. We are not called to emotionally limp through life and barely make it into our eternal reward as devastated, traumatized, unhealthy people. But God says, whatever is trying to happen in your soul, I am able to heal you. And I just want to say, your thinking, your mind, your will, your emotions, your entire soul can be completely healed, completely renewed, completely transformed. Romans 12 says it like this, verse 2. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be molded by pressure into the same behavior of the world, but be transformed, metamorphial, a change of nature. Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove, test, know, and experience what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We found out some amazing things in the neurosciences the last couple of decades. And one of those things is that your mind is this incredible gift from God. And that you can, by changing your thoughts, change the construction of your brain. That there are neural pathways are created, and they actually look like the roots of a tree. And when you create a new way of thinking, you introduce into your brain a whole new capacity, a whole new, that's never been there before, functionality in your brain. Your mind can change your brain. And this is cognitive behavioral therapy. There's a lot of ways to describe it. The Bible describes it, renewing your mind. That when you change your thoughts, you change your life. That when you change your thoughts, you change your future. That your thoughts, the thoughts you have today, if they're unhealthy, if they're fearful, if they're anxious, if they're in any way discouraging, depressing, God says, I'm going to help you renew your mind with my word, by my spirit. And you're going to break out of the prison, the grip, the snare of the enemy. The enemy's snare is always fiery arrows, thoughts that are thrown into your mind, thrown into your soul. These feelings, these constructions of thoughts can be so destructive. Don't let one thought ruin your life. Don't let a series of thoughts take you in the wrong path of life. God's word will help you be free from the lies of the enemy and from wrong thinking. And God will renew your mind about life, about everything. And the more our minds are renewed, the more the kingdom of God we experience. That's the promise of God for us. David said this in Psalm 34. I sought the Lord. What happened? He delivered me out of all my fear. Not just some, but every one of my fears. David said this, and I love the honesty in Psalm 42. Because he talks about escaping the prison of negative, hurtful, traumatic seasons. David had a lot of things go wrong. He was falsely accused of crimes. He was hunted by a king. He lived as a nomad for 13 years. He was disowned by people that should have loved him. He went through a lot of trauma. His own son betrayed him. And so David had to learn how to accept God's grace and mercy to heal his heart. And he found out worship was such an important part of David's therapy. Man, there's no therapy on the planet like worship. I believe worship is the most healing, therapeutic experience you can have on planet Earth. But he said this in Psalm 42. As a deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul. My soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, O God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. He's talking now about the ongoing power and devastation of pain. My tears have been my food day and night. While they mock me and they say continually, where's your God now? I've had people actually throw prophetic words I've received back in my face. I thought you said this would happen. I thought the prophetic word was this would happen. So that spirit of mockery is the voice of anger trying to bring trauma into your heart, trying to turn you against God. But David said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. A great sentence. God is big enough to handle all of our junk, all of our garbage. Pour it out. Sometimes we pour out to the wrong people. But God says, hey, give it to me. Give to me your disappointment, your pain, your grief, your discouragement. Just pour it out. Let it out. Let your soul, don't keep it in, but let it out. For I used to go to the multitudes. I went with them to the house of God. David said this with the voice of joy and praise. The multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. They're talking about the great festivals of Israel and the great joyous celebration of all of God's people. And now he gets down to the nuts and bolts of life. Here's what David said, talking to himself. Hey, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down? The phrase cast down is easily translated as depressed. Why are you depressed, my soul? Why are you discouraged? Why are you defeated? Why are you hopeless? Why are you disquieted? The word disquieted means warring. Why are you disquieted within me? So David recognizes the presence of negative emotions, and he begins to address them forcefully. He begins to admit them to God. He's pouring out to God. He's going through this psalm is like a therapeutic journey. He's giving God all this frustration, and now he's going to the crux of the matter, that God's ready to pour into his situation what? The healing agent of heaven's hope. And he says this to himself, hope in God, for I will continue to praise him for the help of his countenance. I was reading that in Hebrew the other day, and it literally read this, I will continue to praise you because your presence brings salvation. Your presence brings salvation. David said this, I'm not going to let discouragement rule my heart. I'm reasserting hope. I'm reasserting a joyous and positive expectation in my future. That's what hope is, to confidently and joyfully anticipate good in your future. So the opposite of hope is fear, to anticipate and to really believe that bad things, evil things are going to happen in your future. And so God says this to us through David. Hey, your soul can be healed. It can be restored. It can be renewed. It can be repaired. And the snare, listen, fear is a snare. I think it's the book of Jeremiah that says, the fear of man is a snare, a trap. And a trap, David likened these things, these soul snares, to bird traps. And in antiquity, they would catch birds by having these elaborate traps, you know, with bait and a net. And when the bird would reach in for the bait, the net would fall or the trigger would snare him. And so the Lord says this, don't take the bait when the enemy is trying to ensnare you and pull you under his grip of fear. You're a child of God, and Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. And nothing in this world has the right to replace his lordship and his kingdom. And so fear is a lie because it's not from Jesus. And it misrepresents the kingdom of God. And God gives us, the Bible says, perfect love casts out, removes, violently evicts fear in 1 John 4. Because fear is an oppressive, fear hath torment. Fear terrorizes. And God wants us free from fear. Well, David knew about discouragement. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He's preaching to himself, and he's addressing the issues that could have destroyed his life, but he would not let them. He would not let them. David said this in Psalm 94, verse 17, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have settled in silence. My soul would have lost its voice, but God helped me. God helped me. Psalm 97 says, you that love the Lord hate evil, The Lord preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked one. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 103. And it says this, bless the Lord, what? Oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. One of the consequences of going through a long-term or intense hardship is often our vocabulary turns negative. And God says, I want to repair the things you say so I can repair the way you feel. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. What happens? Strength. Your strength is renewed like the eagle. God gave the eagle, the great eagle, the power of life renewal. And how the eagle would do it, about midway through an eagle's life, an eagle realized its beak is dull, its talons are dull, its feathers are wearied, and its skin hasn't seen the sunlight or received any kind of healing element in a long time. So the eagle, well, knowing it needs renewal, will go to the mountain, find a waterfall or fresh stream. And the first thing that eagle does, it finds a rock and begins to beat its beak against that rock, sharpening its mouth. The first way to renewal is to change the words you've been saying. It's impossible to be a strong believer as long as we maintain a weak vocabulary. And so we have to agree with God and stop fighting against God's word, but speaking God's word. The eagle then, with its sharpened beaks, begins to pluck out every one of its feathers, all the feathers out. And then it goes, stands under that waterfall for like 40 days and lets the water wash away all the dirt and wounds that had never been really addressed. And it's a portrait of the word of God, the washing of the water of the word of God, deeply cleansing our souls. And then as that eagle does that, its feathers begin to grow back. And the eagle gets a brand new batch of new feathers. And then oil pockets are formed. With its sharp beak, it pierces those pockets and oil spreads through the feathers, waterproofing the eagle. The eagle comes down from the mountain with a sharp beak with renewed feathers and literally doubles its physical lifespan, renewal. And see, when they don't do that, an eagle just becomes a vulture, living off of what others hunt, and it shortens its lifespan. God says this, I give you the power to renew your life. In my presence, let the washing of my word, let my Holy Spirit help you sharpen your vocabulary so it's in agreement with me. Let the anointing of my spirit pour through your soul, and you're going to come back better, stronger, ready for whatever life throws at you. The eagle comes back from the mountain renewed. And we come back from God's presence, his kingdom, his spirit, his word, renewed in the spirit. And it says this, forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. One of the ways that we overcome discouragement is through the practice of gratitude. Now listen to me. Grateful people are always happy people, always joyful people. So, gratitude is the way to joy, to happiness. So every day I thank God. God, thank you for life. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for the gift of righteousness. Thank you for abundance of grace. Thank you for your eternal word, your unshakable kingdom, your abiding spirit, your glorious church. Thank you for being with me, for calling me. Thank you for the sanctification, glorification, predestination, election. And I begin, man, I am, through gratitude, I begin to drink of the waters of my salvation, the joy of my salvation. And it displaces any kind of negative emotion that would try to overwhelm me. Forget not all his benefits. Your sins have been forgiven. He said this firstly, who forgives all our sins. Ah, that's we will praise Jesus and our loving Father for all eternity. Thank you, God, for forgiving us. Thank you for sending your Son for us. We celebrate. We've just passed Easter. We celebrate what you've done for us, Jesus. Man, there is no greater gift that God gives us than the forgiveness of our sins. He gave us that gift through his Son. That gift reattached us in relationship to God. That gift made heaven our home. That gift gave us righteousness as our new identity. And he said this, who heals all, don't forget his benefits, who heals all your diseases, not some, but every disease of mind, a heart, or body. On the cross, Jesus saw this pandemic 2,000 years ago. And on the cross, by his stripes, he healed it. He healed us from the grip of fear, the disease of fear, the disease of anxiety, the disease of bipolar, of depression, of whatever is trying to assault you, whatever snare is trying to grip you and control your life. The devil's a liar. By the name of Jesus, our help is in what? The name of the Lord. That's Jesus, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Wow. No matter what the destruction looks like, we've been redeemed from. I love the idea of being crowned with loving kindness and tender mercy. It's the portrait of your mind being flooded with godly thoughts. Thoughts of God's kindness, his love, his goodness, his glory. Those thoughts are the crown of the righteous. That we can, in this time, even in a time of immense intensity and difficulty and even great loss, we're crowned with loving kindness and tender mercy. Don't take off your crown. God's crowned you to make it through this season. And you're going to overcome. Why? The snare is broken. Christ has set us free. We are liberated. Psalm 121 says, the Lord shall preserve you from every and all evil. He shall preserve your soul. He shall preserve your soul. That's God's promise to you. Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 11, this is such a beautiful healing and really revealing verse about the heart of our Savior. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wow. I speak God's rest to you. Jesus invites us to rest. What brings our souls rest is the presence of God. The presence of God brings peace. It brings rest. What brings our souls rest is having faith in God. Rest is the result of our faith in God, not the result of our troubles leaving. In the middle of your storm, like Christ who was on the ship asleep while the storm was raging, God can give you a rest that's unconquerable, undefeatable, because that's how powerful his peace is. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Take my yoke upon you. He invites us to discipleship, to walk with him. This was a picture back when Christ spoke this. They right away knew what he was talking about. The farmers in the time of Christ, in fact, this still happens in many places of the world. They would train their animals. They would train a young ox this way. The mother ox, this big, powerful animal who could plow a field with ease. They created a little kind of junior yoke. And the mother ox would be there with her yoke on, but they would have a yoke down to her child, this little baby ox. And the mother would walk the field plowing. And the baby ox, the young ox's job was not to plow. It was to stay in pace with mom. Mom did all the work. The baby's job, the young ox job, was just to stay close to mom. And Jesus said, I'm going to do all the work. Just stay close to me. I've created a yoke. It's not heavy. It's not burdensome. It's light. It's easy. It's restful. It's peaceful. It's healing. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus is the conqueror, so we're more than conquerors. He's the victor. We have more than victory. He's the one that's done it all. grace is Jesus plus nothing. He's done it all. Our job is to walk with him as disciples in partnership in life, trusting him, learning from him, staying close to him, overcoming because of him. This same verse in the Message Bible says it like this: are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Here Jesus, Matthew 11, the Message translation: come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Woo! Freely and lightly. Come on, who doesn't want that? My yoke is what? Easy. My burden light. His promise is, man, don't let stress burn you out. You don't have to carry. The Bible, Peter said this, cast all your cares on him. Why he cares for you. You don't have to carry what Christ asks you to give him. What Christ wants you to give him. Your fears, your worries, your needs, your troubles, your uncertainties. Give it all to him. He's big enough to carry it. He's big enough to carry it. In Christ's name, I want to close by just declaring over your life today that Jesus Christ has broken the snare of fear. I break the power of fear over your life. And I declare that that snare is broken. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, my dear friend. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of anxiety. If you have been feeling overwhelmed with anxious thoughts that are tormenting your day and keeping you asleep at night, I declare freedom to your soul. The snare is broken, my dear friend, in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of depression. Michael Maiden testifies to you that 22 years ago, I was very seriously, manically, clinically, and suicidally depressed, but Jesus Christ broke that snare, healed my heart, and set me free. And I declare the snare of depression is broken off of you in Christ's name. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of hopelessness. It has to leave. God, drive it out today and deposit a fresh and beautiful green hope in the heart of your people. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of self-hatred. One of the things that happens in tough times is the enemy turns it all and says, this is because of you not being good enough or strong enough, or you've created this or caused this. And people that are subject to low self-image become victimized by the devil's assault against them. And I declare in Christ's name, you can't hate yourself because Jesus loves you. He loves that lie out of you and shows you that you're beautiful to him. The Bible says the church is his glorious bride, not his ugly wife. We are glorious in his eyes, beautiful in his eyes. Jesus Christ has broken off of your life the snare of rejection. And I declare every lie that makes you think that life has rejected you or God has forgotten you, it's a lie. He is with you. He is for you. He is fighting for you, and he's breaking the snares. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of all mental illness, no matter what it is. If it has a name or no name, no matter what is tormenting you, hurting you, oppressing you, the snare is broken in Christ's name. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of emotional trauma. Some people say, well, I'll never get over this. Don't ever say that. That's a lie. There is nothing in your world he can't heal. There is nothing in your world that his grace can't help you through. There is no pain in you bigger than his promise to heal. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of grief and sorrow. Psalm 30 says, weeping may endure for the night. It has a time limitation, a certain chronological season. But joy comes in the morning. And I declare in the name of Jesus that long-term grief is leaving you, that perpetual sorrow, that trap, that snare is being broken off of your soul in Christ's name. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of anger, often in us men. Anger is a manifestation of unhealed wounds in our soul. And God goes to the source and heals that wound. Once that wound is healed, the fuel of anger diminishes. And I declare that God's helping you overcome the snare of anger. If it's in you, he's big enough to help you through it. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of bitterness, which is the result of long-term anger. When we focus our anger against a person or situation or a problem, and it becomes really deeply resentful about it, that snare is broken. You're not going to be bitter. You're going to be better in Christ's name. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of unforgiveness. Yes, you can forgive. When my heart was broken, when I was deeply depressed, the Lord said to me, Michael, if you will forgive the people that have hurt you, I will make you forget the pain they've caused you. Well, I did, and he did. I did the forgiving, and he did the healing. Oh, that's how good he is. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of immorality. Don't let the devil pull you in this season when people are hurting or are going through uncertainty. Often they're tempted to reach for short-term comforts. But this is a lie. Don't let the devil pull you into an unhealthy sexual behavior that has devastating long-term consequences against your life. Jesus Christ has broken the snare of selfishness. We are not going to be hoarders. We're going to be helpers. We're not going to be greedy. We're going to be generous. We're not going to be mean. We're going to be kind. We're not going to be hateful. We're going to be loving. We're not going to be geared about me. We're going to care about the world around us the same way God does. I say to you, my dear friend, the snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord Almighty, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for helping us today. Thank you for breaking every snare. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, my friends, for listening, for watching today. God bless you. God bless your family. And know in this season, your God is with you. He's fighting for you. And he's breaking the snare of the enemy. And you're going to escape. God bless you.